At this time of coronavirus, we are encouraged to constantly wash our hands in case we have become contaminated. Pilate washed his hands to be cleansed of being contaminated with Jesus. The tragedy for him is that he thought by washing his hands of his refusal to do what was right, he could escape the penalty of doing what was wrong. Yet ironically, the one who could forgive him for doing wrong was the one standing in front of him, Jesus. Pilate wanted what only Jesus could give him, while at the same time wanting nothing to do with him. As Jesus watched Pilate washing his hands of him, Jesus was still willing to die for him so that he could be forgiven. We often speak about the love that Jesus has for us. Is there any greater example of his love than when he watched Pilate showing that he wanted nothing to do with him, yet Jesus still being willing to suffer being crucified on the cross for him? Pilate, seeing he could not sway the crowd to have Jesus released and realized he was getting nowhere, he washed his hands and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." No, Pilate, you weren't getting anywhere. And like us, if we wash our hands of what Jesus can do for us, we join Pilate in getting nowhere. And that nowhere is a place, as we will see in a moment, not a place where we would ever want to be. Pilate, in a final rejection of Jesus, had him flogged as he set in motion the process of crucifixion. We get some insight into the barbaric treatment meted out to Jesus. The soldiers stripped him, fixed his tied hands above his head to a post, then started to whip him. Unlike the Jews' restriction of 40 lashes, there was no such limit for the Romans. They flogged their prisoners with leather whips which had bone and lead in the ends, eventually causing not just cuts in the skin, but whipped the skin so it hung in long ribbons. The prisoners were whipped to within an inch of death, and few survived such torture. Mocking his claim to be a king, they put a scarlet robe on him, twisted some thorns into a makeshift crown, and put it on his head. They gave him a staff representing a kingly sceptre in his right hand, and thought it funny to kneel before him pretending to praise him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him, and with the staff they had given him, they struck him repeatedly on his head. Having had their fun, they too washed their hands of him and led him away to be crucified. Jesus suffered to the point of exhaustion so much by the flogging, so that the wooden crossbar of a cross which was put across his shoulders, which he as a strong carpenter would once have carried with ease, caused him to fall and had to be carried by a Cyrene onlooker. Arriving at Golgotha, he was physically manhandled to be nailed to a cross on the ground. The cross was hoisted vertically and then was shudderingly jammed into the socket to stand upright, and in the process the nails tore at his flesh, causing horrific pain. All the time, people were distancing themselves from him, washing their hands of him. On the cross, Jesus heard those who passed by hurling insults at him for not doing what they wanted him to do. They wanted their idea of a miracle. Oblivious to the miracle before their eyes of Jesus paying the penalty for their sin, they wanted Jesus to prove to them that he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God, by calling on God to miraculously release him from the cross. And when he wouldn't do that, they also washed their hands of him. The chief priest, teachers of the law, and elders joined in the mockery because he wouldn't do what they thought he needed to do to prove his kingship. They were prepared to believe in him only if he came down from the cross. And when he wouldn't do that, they too washed their hands of him. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" Meaning, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Could the unthinkable have happened? My God, are you washing your hands of me as well?" The burden of our sin Jesus carried was so great that Jesus was thinking the unthinkable. Was our sin defiling him so much that his Father wanted nothing to do with him? Jesus had never had such a thought before. He had always been one with his Father. But now, because the very people Jesus had come to earth to offer forgiveness and to redeem them of their sin had washed their hands of him, it felt to Jesus that even God himself had forsaken him. But the penalty Jesus was paying was exactly the punishment we would pay, separation from God. The penalty we would face is the penalty Jesus was paying. So great was the world's sin, the Bible tells us that God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us. And that completely distanced him from his Father. And Jesus died alone. He gave up the closeness with his Father to carry our sin. How could anyone wash their hands of such a man who loved them and us so much? How can people still do that today? Jesus became a sin offering for us. He had no sin himself and was therefore the only person who could bear our sin. Had he been sinful, he would have had to pay the penalty of his own sin. He could not, in addition, take on our sin. But being sinless, he was able, and furthermore willing, to allow us to place on him our sin, so that we could go free and not have to pay the penalty of our sin, and offer to all who will accept him as a saviour. Literally, he saves us from suffering the penalty of sin. And as he invited everyone to place their sin on him, it's difficult to imagine the weight of guilt of sin that he carried. Yet, as he was hanging on the cross, paying for their sin and ours, so many mocked him and walked by, washing their hands of him. How could they? But now, at the final moment of sacrifice for us, Jesus looked to his Father, but, and I can hardly bear to say this, God must have watched as the broken body of his Son was treated with such contempt, and I can only think that God himself was so broken-hearted that he just couldn't speak, causing his Son to cry out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" Not, "I know I can at least rely on you, my Father." It was, "Why have you forsaken me?" He wanted to hear his Father. That's how it felt for Jesus. "I cannot bear the thought that my sin is so awful that carrying it for me made Jesus feel his Father had washed his hands of him. I'm sorry to put it in such basic common language, but that's how it was. Jesus thought God had washed his hands of him." But the crucifixion is not a place for niceties. It's an ugly, horrible place. It was where Jesus discovered that the penalty of sin is complete separation from God. He'd always known it, but now he was experiencing it. And if the penalty was to be real, not even God could alter that. If we ever might be tempted to think that the crucifixion was a momentous event in history, albeit a gruesome one, of it simply being an innocent man being put to death, and an event that reveals the capacity of man at his worst, we miss the most devastating truth of the crucifixion. It is that there was a separation for Jesus from his Father. It was one thing for Jesus to see the indifference, the jealousy of the chief priests and the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews, who even resorted to looking for false evidence against him. He could not have been surprised at the mindless mockery of the soldiers. He could have expected nothing less. He had not infrequently been the subject of such callousness. But in the final moments of his life, Jesus experienced something he had never experienced in his life in heaven with his Father, or here on earth while walking among us. As he called out from the cross to his Father, there was no reply for him. Up until that moment, Jesus and his Father had been one. But sin separates us from God, and Jesus was bearing the sin of the whole world. Sometimes we almost sanitize those words, the sin of the world. Somehow it can seem less personal than my sin. But if the penalty of our sin, which means separation from God, was truly to be paid, Jesus and his Father both had to experience a broken relationship, because that is what sin does. Until the end of our earthly life, God pleads with us to accept the sacrifice Jesus made for us. But if we refuse his offer, we will be separated from God for all eternity. The fact that God and Jesus knew that they would be reunited in 3 days can in no way take away the absolute desolation both must have felt. We could never find words to describe how that must have felt for them, other than quote the words of Jesus. It felt as though he'd been forsaken. And for God, who was rendered brokenheartedly speechless. Jesus, knowing he had followed the will of his Father to come and redeem the world, must have so wanted his Father to declare his love for him, and at that moment he must have wanted more than anything to have his approval. But from heaven there came silence. A broken-hearted God, unable to speak to his broken-hearted Son. Otherwise the cost, the penalty of our sin, separation from God, would not be real. Dear friends, can you bear to think of what we did to God and to Jesus as he paid the price of our sin? Can we ever adequately thank Jesus for bearing our sin, which caused him to experience being separated from God, so that we need never know that awful moment that Jesus experienced on the cross? On bended knee, can we try to thank him? Perhaps by using the words of Francis Havergal, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord. I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever, only, all for thee.